So good to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of Live and Local. It's brought to you in part by the Libre Initiative. Coming up, Paris Denard's going to join us. He is a spokesman for the Republican National Committee. We're going to talk a little bit about Joe Biden and the COVID recovery that has failed miserably. It's not even close. We've got people that swear they will never, ever, ever. In fact, I had somebody the other day. Somebody the other day said, you know, I'd love to go see the Raiders and the Chargers, but if I have to get vaccinated in order to get into Allegiant Stadium, I'm not going to do it. That's what this has come down to. The binary choices. Stay where you are. More to do. Paris Denard will join us, a spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. And don't forget, a little later on the program, Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. We'll find out if he still lives in 18 or if he's been redistricted out of existence. I hope not. But he'll join us coming up after 2 o'clock. Stay with us. More to come as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next. Finally happened. We're finally free. Hey, Kevin Wall here, and my friends at Ichabod's Lounge are at 100% capacity with the same old Vegas atmosphere customers have come to expect for more than three decades. Ichabod's, even after a pandemic, it's still one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers and now super serving mask-free. Ichabod's Lounge features an incredible menu, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And at Ichabod's Lounge, their kitchen is open 24/7 for you late-night foodies. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar. I just love it. You want to win? You want to celebrate our freedom? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. In Oxford Township, Michigan.
Of course, I'm shocked. It's devastating.
Tim Throne, the superintendent of schools, reacting to the deadly shooting today at Oxford High School. A 15-year-old sophomore opened fire, killing three other students and wounding six other people, including a teacher. Officers arrested the suspect and recovered a semi-automatic handgun and several clips. No motive has been released. Oxford Township, about 30 miles north of Detroit. Also at townhall.com, both sides are telling the Supreme Court there's no middle ground in Wednesday's showdown over abortion. The case being argued comes from Mississippi, where a 2018 law would ban abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. A new poll finds most Americans blame President Biden about the rising cost of fuel.
62% of respondents to a national telephone and online survey say they don't think the president has done enough to stop the rising price of gasoline, heating oil, and other petroleum products. Only 26% of those responding to the Rasmussen poll say he's doing enough. 12% say they're not sure. Critics blame the president for driving prices higher through new fees and restrictions on energy producers. Bob Agnew reporting.
And consumer confidence continues to fall.
U.S. consumer confidence fell to a nine-month low this month. That's according to the Conference Board, which says its consumer confidence index dropped about 2 points to its lowest reading since February. The Conference Board says that concerns about rising prices and, to a lesser degree, lingering worries about the Delta variant were the primary drivers of the decline. There was an even larger drop this week at the University of Michigan's gauge of consumer sentiment, which fell in November to a decade low. I'm Shelley Adler.
Stocks finishing sharply lower, the Dow off 651 points today, the NASDAQ down 245. More at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
To find your balance, keep riding. And if you stop, put your feet down
so you don't fall.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty.
Both were prosecutors in the Clark County District Attorney's Office, each with 25 years of experience. One was chief of the Special Victims Unit, the other chief of the Homicide Unit. Both dedicated, both respected. Together, they are Craig Hendricks and Frank Como, the Vegas Dream Team for criminal defense you need in your corner. Call 702-222-9999 or visit VegasDreamTeam.com, a division of DeCastro Verde Law Group.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
It's 104. This is your KMZQ Newsflash, powered by DeCastro Verde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. A UNLV student's death after a charity boxing match has now been ruled a homicide. A Clark County coroner's office says Nathan Valencia died last week due to blunt force head trauma. The 20-year-old was taking part in a charity boxing match sponsored by his college fraternity, Kappa Sigma, to raise money for a North Valley gym which helps troubled kids. His family is being represented by Richard Harris's law firm, which claims mistakes were made and safety precautions overlooked at that school-sanctioned event. A state trooper has died from complications of COVID-19. Cliff Fontaine had been with the Nevada Highway Patrol, which is now the Nevada State Police, for 16 years. State police officials say the 54-year-old died Saturday due to COVID-19-related pneumonia. He had been hospitalized since early October. Clark County's 14-day COVID-19 test positivity rate is now at 6.7%. That's down 0.4% from its recent high of 7.1% on November 19th.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Quick check of the traffic cams. Looks like you're averaging about 55 miles per hour through the resort corridor of Interstate 15 right now. Moderate flows on the Beltway, 215 west at the airport connector, but do expect backups downtown. That's US 95 eastbound at Southern Rancho.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, it's taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Great to have you with us. Hour number two of Live and Local, brought to you by Concerned Veterans for America. And joining us now, we are very happy to have Monty, has followed us to our new time slot, noon till 3. He is Paris Denard, a Republican National Committee national spokesperson. He joins us. How was your Thanksgiving, sir?
It was very nice, thank you. It was more expensive for a lot of Americans, as you very well know, but I was grateful to still be in this country, and we all have so many things to be grateful for, but I was not grateful for the fact that Biden is doing so many terrible things to this nation. I just thought about how grateful I was to have the family that I have and the resources that I have, but I was thinking about so many millions of Americans who aren't as fortunate, who are suffering because of this administration. It's a real situation that we have here, and that's what I spent my Thanksgiving focused on with, and thinking about how hard it is for so many Americans, single mothers, working class Americans. It's tough, and this Thanksgiving was tough.
We've seen, and we've been reporting all day on new cratering poll numbers for the president. He's down around 38%, 39% in some of the polls that are out. And I'm just curious, is America figuring out who's at fault here? I know everybody always throws charges across the bow, but is it possible that the American people have woken up and they know who's at fault here?
Yeah, you know what? I do think a lot of Americans are waking up to the fact that Joe Biden is responsible for the calamity and the crises that we see not only internationally but here domestically. When you look at gas prices, when you look at the price of food, with food inflation, and there's regular inflation that's happening all across the country, Americans are seeing that this is a problem, that Democrats are in charge of the House, the Senate, the White House, and a lot of these urban cities where you see rampant crime that's out of control at places like Louis Vuitton and high-end places in San Francisco and all across the country. They are waking up to the fact that Democrats are in power, that their lots in life are not improving, and that Joe Biden has to be held responsible, and the polls are reflecting it.
Today, today Wall Street is taking a dive, and a lot of people have asked the question. I'll ask you the question. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. Why is it that if Americans are catching on to this thing, why haven't the markets caught up to this thing and reacted more violently?
Well, I'm glad the markets haven't reacted more violently, but I think that they are probably looking at it in a more of a long-term fashion. I think the way Americans are viewing things right now is really short term. How does the economy affect me right now? And I think that the markets might be looking at it from a long term standpoint because they've been able to withstand what we've seen for over a year now, going into 2 years, with COVID still not being under control, and the markets have been able to adjust and adapt because of that. And so maybe that could be a reason, but I don't know if that's going to last. Because what we see here with COVID-19 not getting any better, not improving under Biden's watch, that with supply chain issues moving into the holidays and inflation probably going into next year, the markets are going to have to adjust to a new reality that things are not improving. I think a lot of people, especially experts, thought things would be better. Things would be better economically. Things would be better for us, and they haven't gotten better. And I think the markets will probably start to reflect that.
I want to ask you about the COVID recovery. It has failed so miserably. Where has this president gone wrong when it comes to the pandemic and the so-called recovery from it?
Well, you know, President Biden has gone wrong on the recovery by every aspect of his policies. The draconian policies of forced vaccine mandates are wrong, unconstitutional, and I believe discriminatory. When it comes to utilizing vaccine passports and trying to force people to choose between their private health issues versus being employed, you see crisis when it comes to our first responders, police, fire, and the healthcare industry, people who are in the nursing fields and doctors and these hospital rooms. This is going to become a very big issue. And so Biden has just not been able to get a grasp on how to deal with COVID-19. He claimed to have said he was going to be able to do that during the campaign, and he's failed. And it's not just that. The problem is that it's COVID's failures of them not being able to handle it, but it's also the failures of getting the border under control, because we know people are coming across the border illegally that have COVID-19 and other issues. We know it's a national security issue. We know there's so many problems that are happening in this country that are compounded by this pandemic that Biden-Harris administration have yet to figure out a way to get us out of it or to lead us into a positive direction. So when he says build back better, he's lying. It's build back broke. And I don't know what he wants to build us back to. Maybe it's Jimmy Carter, but that was a disaster just like this administration.
I want to ask you, though, as far as the way out of this thing, we had Dr. Fauci talking about the Omicron variant, and that and it's kind of a different approach, in my view, that now we're saying, well, we got to, you know, prepare for it. It's not here yet. We don't have examples of the Omicron virus here in America yet, but he says we have to prepare for it. Why are we now taking this kind of a preemptive strike against this new variant?
I think it's because the administration realizes that they don't know what's going on. They don't know what to do. And so to not be looking flat-footed and have this new variant hitting the American people very strongly, I think they're trying to preemptively stop it by putting these travel bans on Africa, which I would raise for your audience is something that they called xenophobic and racist and things when President Trump preemptively put in a travel ban on China. And so I think what this administration is trying to figure out is how to deal with this virus that they don't know what to do with. They don't know what to do. And it's evident by the mixed messages when it comes to mask policies. It's evident when it comes to how they're trying to pass these mandates. It's evident by the fact that you have these confusion that from the American people whether or not they're going to be domestic travel mandates. You know, because look, this is the same administration who said they weren't going to have any mask mandates. Actually said from the White House podium that it was probably unconstitutional to have mask mandates, and we see that's exactly what they do. So I think what you see now is them trying to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks, because they have no clue about how to handle this crisis.
I'm looking at my monitors here in the studio, and we've got the House and the Senate are back, and one of the things that they're talking about in the Senate is the Build Back Broke bill of Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the squad. And I'm curious, what do you see as the prospects relative to the Build Back Better bill of President Biden?
Well, I'll tell you, the Senate is a tougher road because you have some Democrats that are resistant to what's happening, and I think the longer that the American people continue to see and suffer under this radical regime that we have, especially with the economy the way it is, going into colder months as we are in, and energy prices going up, and the supply chain issues, I think the American people are going to say, what is in this bill, and how is it going to benefit me, and what's it going to do for us right now, and how much is it going to cost? Senator Tim Scott always talks about the fact that he's more concerned about the content than the cost, because the content is even scarier than the cost, knowing that they're just going to implement things that are not going to be good for the American people in terms of expanding the deficit, adding to raising taxes on middle-class Americans, no matter what they say is going to happen. And so, we have a problem. And I think the Senate is going to do their very best, especially on the Republican side, to hold the line. But I think we're going to see some more Democrat senators think twice about being all in for this because their constituents are hurting. And when your constituents are hurting, when your constituents have questions, when your constituents can't get the right answers, that can be a problem for you when it comes to how you vote.
Again, Paris Denard joining us, Republican National Committee national spokesperson. And I've got to ask you, because you touched on it, the supply chain problem. Anybody that's been to a mall, you've seen the empty shelves. You've seen the toys that aren't there. And I guess my question is, how can this administration, under these policies, fix that problem?
Well, that's a very good question. Let me just tell you, there's nothing that the Biden administration can do right now to fix the supply chain issue that they've created, because they have a whole hit list of things that are going into why we have a problem with the supply chain. When you have these mandates that are impacting truck drivers, when you look at the fact that you have increased price and cost across the country, when you don't have good relations with our allies across the country, when you're trying to put on trade deals that aren't beneficial to the nation. This administration does not have what it takes, doesn't have the leadership, doesn't have the negotiating skills, and is out of time to really help cure, fix the supply chain issue. It's here right now. It's going to be tough during the holidays, and you probably won't see any relief for over a year. I mean, let's look at the chip issue with cars and vehicles. I mean, this is a multifaceted crisis that this administration is not leading on.
In fact, just about 8 weeks ago, I tried to get some body work done on my SUV, and they couldn't even get to the work because they didn't have the parts from China or overseas. They didn't have the parts. My question is, you're saying this is going to be next year before we're done with the supply chain thing?
That's what I've heard from experts. But look, we have to look at this at a macro level. It's not just a supply chain issue. It's the jobs. It's the global economy. It's will the American people have the money to buy things and purchase things? Will then have these big box stores and these companies and these industries be able to purchase things? Where is the demand going to be? Will they have the supply? All of these things are going to matter. When it comes to COVID-19, if you can't get that under control, are they going to start to close down imports and exports again? So all of this is going to impact the supply chain, but it all comes down to leadership. And we do not have the leadership coming out of this administration. And that is the problem.
In our final couple of minutes, I've got to ask you, because everybody asked me about this, Kamala Harris. She's been a miserable failure as a vice president. She was supposed to be the point person on immigration problems along our southern border. She's done nothing to fix that. And let me just ask you, her status as a potential replacement for Joe Biden, it's a little scary, isn't it?
Well, you know, Kamala Harris is one of the worst VPs we've seen in a very long time. Everything she's been charged with managing has not worked, and she has not led on, and it's gotten worse. I don't know if moving her to a different position is going to matter. Her poll numbers are not good, and while some might put her on the top of the ticket and thinking that's going to help, at the end of the day, she's part of the same problem, the same radical, liberal, progressive problem that this Democrats in power have right now. So whether it's Joe Biden at the top of the ticket, Buttigieg at the top of the ticket, or Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, it's still a bad ticket with bad policies, bad problems that are going to be created by them being in power. And so that's why we have to hold them accountable, especially starting in 2022.
In a final couple of minutes, the messaging that candidates are going to have and that are being recommended by the RNC, what will they be going forward? I mean, we all talk about, well, we got to have a wave election. We're going to have a wave election. But until you actually win the seats and, nothing changes, what is the messaging that you're going to send to candidates across the country to here in Nevada?
You know, it's very clear. It's have an America First agenda. This is what we saw with Glenn Youngkin and the successful campaign that he ran, along with Winsome Sears and Jason Myers, who's the new lieutenant governor-elect and the attorney general-elect there in the Commonwealth of Virginia, where I happen to live. They ran a very disciplined communication message that was responsive to the people of Virginia. Said, we hear you, we're listening, and we're going to be responsive. When it came to responding to the inflation, they said, let's get rid of the food tax and groceries. When it came to responding to the high gas prices, they said, let's get rid of let's put a moratorium for 12 months on the gas tax that was imposed on the Commonwealth. When it came to listening to teachers and listening to parents about how teachers were indoctrinating their children with critical race theory and other things of that nature, with school boards, they said, let's empower parents. Let's promote school choice. When it came to higher education and the issue that was important to the people of Virginia, HBCUs, he said, Youngkin said, I'm going to put HBCU funding in all of my budget. And so the point is, it's being responsive to the people and providing conservative messages, conservative policies that will work to help people where they are and address the problems that they have from a conservative standpoint, and stay on message and not make it a national message, not make it a national campaign. Stay focused on the people. Put the people first. Put their issues first. Put the single mom first. Put the parents first. Put the school children first. Put the small business owners first, and promote policies that are going to impact them today to help them in the future.
To all my friends who are running for office across the state of Nevada, I hope you were just listening to Paris Denard. Paris, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon, I promise.
I hope so. Thanks for all you do.
There you go. Paris Denard, RNC national spokesman. I'm just going to tell you, if there are candidates out there listening, this is the mission statement. What you just heard from Paris Denard. School choice, all these different things. But you got to tell people how you're going to make their lives better. How you're going to fix what's wrong with our economy. How you're going to fix what is wrong with our education system here in the state of Nevada. That's what we need to be doing. Stay with us. More to come as we continue. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Breaking news, newsmakers, and political heavy hitters, all before the sun comes up. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hello, my name is Barack Zilberberg. With pride, integrity, and honor, I'm running to be your next governor of Nevada. If you believe in freedom, our constitutional rights, and the Second Amendment, if you believe in abolishing critical race theory in our schools, if you're tired of the corrupt, dysfunctional politicians in Carson City who failed when they had opportunities to make Nevada better, if you want our next governor to be a true American patriot who is not a politician, but a businessman, entrepreneur, real estate developer, and a problem solver, then I am the only choice. My name is Barack Zilberberg. I am a visionary with a proven track record of bringing people together. Please visit my website, BarackZilberberg.com. That's BarackZilberberg.com, and invest in the bright future of Nevada. Paid for by Friends for Barack Zilberberg.
We're tuning in now to a press conference where a spokesperson for New Mail Medical Center is answering questions from the media. Take a listen.
Yeah. Many men have tried pills with no success, or they have had bad side effects. What makes New Mail any different?
Our treatments can work even when pills have failed. Next question.
What if someone is diabetic, has high blood pressure, or even had prostate surgery?
We've treated tens of thousands of patients just like that, and with great success. Next question.
And for men who don't have ED, can New Mail still help them be at their best?
New Mail offers low T treatments, peptide therapy, medically managed weight loss, even treatments for hair loss.
Call now at 702-919-0609 or visit online at numale.com. Call New Mail Medical Center at 702-919-0609. That's 702-919-0609. New Mail, the experts in men's sexual health.
I'm Mark Hutchison, founding partner of the law firm of Hutchison & Steffen. We're the Nevada law firm focused on helping businesses do business, especially when governmental obstacles get in the way. As someone who has been heavily involved with state government for many years, I know how government works and doesn't work for business. With so many rules, procedures, and regulations, Nevada businesses are almost certain to become entangled with government at some point. Bottom line, if your business gets caught up in the quagmire of a dispute with government, you can count on Hutchison & Steffen to help you navigate the rules, procedures, and regulations of federal, state, county, or city government. When you have a dispute with the government, we are the go-to firm for Nevada businesses. Whether it's facing the prospect of a proceeding before a board, commission, or agency, or finding yourself in court with the government on the other side, our team will be on your side. Call Hutchison & Steffen, 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com. That's 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com.
Do you know a high school senior who could use some extra cash to attend college? Encourage them to apply for the Ronald McDonald House Charities Scholarship. RMHC, McDonald's, and our community partners have awarded more than $4 million in scholarships to deserving students over the years. So apply today. Current high school seniors in Clark and Nye counties with a 2.7 GPA are eligible. For details on how to apply, visit rmhlv.org. Applications are due January 7th.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player. No matter the challenges I face every day in the NFL, my mom is always there for me, despite her own struggles with muscular dystrophy. And MDA is there for my mom. At their 150 care centers across the U.S., MDA is the leading organization in research and care for kids and adults with